Ultralights is what it's all about today. We call that the Fun Flight Zone Friday.
Come on, Jeff. Fly. Fun Fly Zone.
Fly Zone.
Fly, not flight. Fly.
Okay, fly.
Just
fly.
Like On the Fly, your radio program.
That's
come on,
right.
Bud.
Hey, we are having a ton of fun down here, and it's all about flying and flight and fun.
Right on.
However you want to say it.
You got
it's
it.
What's
in.
Happening down here. Tim Bogenhagen is back with us, and he is the staff liaison with EAA to this area this part of the year. Real quick, what do you do the rest of the year for EAA?
I work for EAA as a full-time staff member serving EAA members, coordinating weekly webinars, hints for home builders videos, flying club activities, and also being the staff liaison for ultralight and light sport aircraft information matters. I'm the go-to guy on the staff for anything ultralight, light sport.
Very cool. All right. Well, you've got a great operation going down here this year, as usual, I might say. And speaking of cool stuff, so we have talked to these, we've talked to Dennis before. We've talked to Aerolite in the past. And I know your company's not called Aerolite, right? What's the name of your company?
Well, it's actually, the company is Aerolite 103, and the airplane's also Aerolite 103.
So Dennis, Carly, Tim's going to ask you a couple things. I know he's very familiar with your operation and also with this young man that's with us as well. Go ahead, Tim, and introduce
So Dennis,
us.
I know that Aerolite has a lot of buzz over the last number of years. It's like the most popular ultralight out there. Why do you think that is?
I don't really know. I've tried to figure that out before Tim myself, and with the comments, with the feedback we get from guys coming through there, that they say it looks like an airplane, because sometimes, you know, the ultralight stuff looks a little strange in conventional terms. It has it's been around for, the design's been around 20-some years, so it's recognizable, and people see it. They recognize the airplane. They recognize the name. There's a lot of very loyal owners and pilots out there of ultralights. I think that just kind of builds on itself and keeps on going.
You know, one of the things that I've always appreciated about the Aerolite since it first showed up at Oshkosh, I think 1998.
Yep.
Terry Raber brought it here, but it was brightly colored, and the sails used on it are always bright colors, and it's like, it just screams ultralight to
yep,
me.
Yep, absolutely. You walk around the corner coming out of the red barn, here's the first thing you're looking at, and it's nice and bright. You can't miss it.
And it's fun, right? I mean, the bright colors just like, oh, man, I just want to fly this. It's fun.
Yep, that's it. Absolutely.
Yeah. So tell me, when you fly an ultralight, it's lightweight, right? So it's like, what do they call that? Lightly wing loaded? What does that really mean?
Yeah, light wing loading, very responsive. The controls are big. You know, basically, when these planes are designed, they're designed to fly at a wide speed range. So when you are slow and you have a big control surface, you still have plenty of control authority. You're going 25 miles an hour faster. That gives you a lot more control authority, a sporty feel to that type of aircraft for sure.
You know what I love about ultralights probably more than anything is that they're so safe. It's like, what? Safe. Why is that? Short takeoff and landing? What do you think about that?
Yep, short takeoff and landing, slow speed, slow stall speed, so your approach speeds are lower. If there is usually a mishap, it's a bent up axle or a bent up gear or something like that. It's much, much safer than, well, you say safety, approaching 30 miles an hour versus 80 miles an hour, big difference.
Very low kinetic energy.
Yep.
Yeah. So what's new at Aerolite 103?
Well, I guess the newest thing we have over there is the electric propulsion system.
Oh, wow.
Yep, which has been getting a lot of attention. We flew the plane a couple times here a couple days ago. It's remarkably quiet. The comments we get is, that's as loud as it gets? Yeah, it's as loud as it gets. We've got a motor that turns 2,000 RPMs max, 1,650 RPMs in cruise. It's just incredibly quiet. It's the only airplane I've ever been on a fly with no hearing protection.
That is cool. So electric motors seem incredibly simple. Does that mean there's very little maintenance to do on them?
Well, it's basically a zero maintenance system, if there is such a thing. If the batteries are charged and you move the throttle forward, electricity goes to the motor spins, you're going flying.
Wow, is that ever cool.
That's incredibly cool. And I'm a little curious about some of the mechanics of it in terms of the reality of use. So, of course, a Part 103 ultralight is for enjoyment mainly. Of course, you can't teach in them or do any of that. But how long can you fly this, because you're weight restricted in 103 and batteries are heavy? How have you gotten around that?
Well, when we went into this project with their electric propulsion system, we decided this is the viable aircraft for it at this point. The biggest reason is because the average ultralight pilot doesn't go out and fly for 2 hours in the morning. He goes out and flies for 30 or 40 minutes in the morning, brings his airplane back and goes on about his day, or perhaps the same thing in the evening. So the technology reached a point where 30 or 40 minutes of flight time is viable in our airplanes. And the battery technology continues to get better. The weight comes down, the amount of energy storage comes up, so that continues to get better. But we reached a point where we thought we could do it, and that was our goal, 30, 40 minutes worth of flying time, and we've achieved that, so you can do that now with an electric propulsion system.
And, you know, I fly a Quad City Challenger, which, you know, is a light plane, it's N-numbered, but it flies a lot like an ultralight. And I'll tell you, a lot of my flights are a half hour long.
Yep.
I mean, I go out, I fly at a grass strip, I go around and I come back and it's like at that twilight period. A half hour flight time is like, that's a normal flight for me. So that doesn't really seem like a limitation at all.
And then how long to charge? Like, if you wanted to make repetitive flights in a day, what would you need to do?
Well, it depends on how you charge it. So if they have four batteries in the system and you fly for 30 minutes and you come back and put one charger on each one of those batteries, that whole airplane, all the batteries will be back up to charge in about an hour and a half. If you put one battery in, it takes four times as long to charge it up, but you can do it either way.
Okay. Well, very cool.
Yeah, isn't it cool? Yeah, so we got somebody with us, a nice young man, Henry Scott. It's just so cool to see you again back here at Oshkosh. Tell me a little bit about the first time you came to Oshkosh and when you flew here for the first time. Tell us about that experience and what were you flying?
Well, the first time I was in Oshkosh, I actually just figured this out. It was when I was 8. I was all the way over in GA with little Mooney, and I remember coming over to Ultralight, and I always was fascinated to know if I could land any sort of aircraft, you know, just in case, you know, something happened to my pilot or my dad, you know. And then, you know, my dad kind of figured that, and what aircraft could he fly? And Ultralights at the time were, you know, not too new, but they're still pretty new, and they're no one has thought about taking it up, you know, younger than pilot, you know, not younger than 16 or 17. So when I was in that, I was in a power paraglider, and I soloed when I was 12. And I came here to Oshkosh, and I gave you guys a little bit of a struggle, you know, to figure out.
We had to figure it out. You were at 13 years old. It was like, man, we've never had somebody that young fly here. So you came back the next year. You were patient with us, and you flew here when you were 14, right?
13.
Yeah, 13 with your powered paraglider. And then the next year, you flew what back into Oshkosh?
I flew an Aerolite 103.
And how far did you fly that Aerolite 103?
I'm not sure the exact mileage, but from Virginia, Northern Virginia, all the way to right here in Oshkosh.
Dennis, what do you think about that? One of your airplanes, a 14-year-old young man, flying from Virginia to Oshkosh.
Yeah, well, I don't know of anybody else that's ever accomplished that. That's a remarkable feat for anybody, especially someone that's 14 years old. Obviously, he had a lot of support from his dad, and that a lot of kids don't have that at that age either, no. But that's fantastic, absolutely fantastic.
I think it's kind of funny how he refers to the Mooney as little. comparatively to what he's flying now. But yeah.
Right.
So what are you doing now, Henry?
Right now, not much, but I'm...
Because you're 16 now, right?
Yeah. I have recently, about a month ago, In March, I turned 16, and a week after that, I soloed a 150, and so now I'm working on my private pilot's license.
Excellent. What a cool story. And this tie-in, the reason I asked you to stick around, Henry, and come and join us on the show is because that's a cool representation of what the Aerolite 103 can do, not only for adults, but young people. Because this is really, truly regulatorily, I mean,
it's free. There is no minimum age to fly an ultralight.
And so this is just, if any of our listeners have kids that they think would really want to do something like this, this is the proof that it's possible.
Like Nike says, just do it.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Are they paying us? Oh, no.
No.
So, anyway, what was, we've just got a couple more minutes of that experience, that trip. What was your favorite thing about it, other than arriving here, which is always the goal?
Oh, well, I did arrive here a week early. And I was going to say that was my favorite moment, you know, when I'm finally here. And that would have been my favorite moment. But on the whole trip, I guess my second favorite was arriving in Fond du Lac.
Fond du Lac, just south of Oshkosh.
Yeah, and I was ready. And I'd flown for about 4 hours, or I've flown a few trips, or a few hops, because you only have about 50 miles. It's quite a cross-country machine, but I'd been tired, and I was like, I want to get there.
You must have been like, I know this is the last leg now, so I'm just feeling so good, because one more flight, and I'm in Oshkosh.
One little trip up the west side of the lake, and I'm there.
Then I can stretch my feet out and, you know, do whatever I want.
Yeah. Well, Henry Scott, what a cool story. You're an inspiration. You may not know it now, but you are an inspiration to young people doing what you do. So keep it up. Mentor anyone who you can to do what you've done. And congratulations on your successes. And we look forward to seeing you here many years from now doing another interview to see where you've gone.
Thank you.
And Dennis.
Yep.
Everyone can come see your booth over here at Fun Fly Zone over by the Ultralight Runway. Everyone come check out the Aerolite 103 and the 103E.
Yep.
It's fantastic. Thanks for joining us today on EA Radio.
Glad to be here.
J-Bot G, we're on the fly. We're at Ultralights, the Fun Fly Zone. We're going to take a break. We'll be back, and we're going to talk about some more cool stuff down here. Right, Tim?
You bet.
Absolutely. You're listening to EA Radio.